Good morning, and let me say again, welcome to all of you who have come here for the first time this morning. We're glad that you've chosen to be here, and we hope that you find yourselves both welcomed and then nourished and challenged as you spend this time with us this morning. And to those of you who are back after being gone or somewhere else for a while, it's wonderful to see you. And I want to give a special word of praise to the dozen folks who are nestled away in the corner here, so that more of you have comfortable seats. Can we hear a word of an applause of thanks for them? Way to go. Now, for all you know, I'm just making it up, and there's really no one over there. This summer, we are listening to the words of Jesus. And the reason we're listening to Jesus' words is that we believe that his words bring life. That what Jesus says is like bread to the hungry person, or like fresh water to the person who's thirsty. Last week, we listened to a word of comfort from Jesus. He promised rest for the soul of every person who was weary and heavy burdened. Many of you were here, and I hope that in listening to his words, you felt a bit of that promise already, of the rest that he promises to those who come to him. And with that word of comfort also came a word of challenge. Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give you rest as you learn from me. As you take my yoke upon you and you become a student and you learn from me." All summer long, we will be attempting to learn from Jesus. And we'll do that again this morning. And this morning, we will hear a word that is not so much a word of comfort, but a word of challenge. Many of the things that Jesus said were very challenging. And this morning, we're going to hear him speak to three people who are thinking of following him. Many of you in here are in the place in life right now where you're considering following Jesus. You've been going along with him a bit. You've been hearing some of the things that he said, and now you're thinking of following him. And this morning, we're going to look at a conversation that happened between Jesus and then three folks who were thinking of following him. And it's recorded in Luke chapter 9. And first, I'm going to read it. And I want you simply to listen, and then we'll take our time looking one at a time at the exchanges that happen between Jesus and those who are thinking of following him. Listen to how it's recorded in Luke. And this is chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Three exchanges between Jesus and individuals who are thinking about following him. In each, Jesus addresses those potential followers with a word of challenge. And what I want to do with you now is quite simply to listen to the words of Jesus so that you and I can learn what are the things that make it hard for a person to follow Jesus. Each of these folks had something they were committed to that would make it difficult for them to listen to the words of Jesus. And I want with you to discover what those things are so that each of us has a greater chance of actually coming to be someone who is able to listen to him, because it's good for you to hear him. I want us to understand the things that get in our way, because I want each of us to be a person who can follow him, because it's supremely good for us to follow him. And if you will with me pay attention to what he says, I'm certain that we will leave this place this morning more ready than we were to become students of His. And I'm convinced that the very best thing that any person can become is a student of Jesus. Let's look now, one at a time, at the exchanges that we just read. The first one begins in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus and his disciples had been traveling from village to village. As they went from one place to the next, more and more people began to follow because of how compelling Jesus was. There was something in this man's words that were so intriguing to folks. There was something in his way that was attractive. And so as he moved along, more and more people gathered. As the crowds built and as enthusiasm for his way began to build, one person steps forward and declares loudly his intention to join with Jesus and his disciples. "I will follow you wherever you go," he says. This is a very good thing to say to Jesus. It's the thing that this man was meant to say. It was the thing, and it is the thing, that each of us is meant to say. Every one of us in here is meant to come to the place in life where we can say, "I will follow Jesus wherever he goes." And that's what this man says. And now the whole crowd is waiting to hear what Jesus will say to him. How will Jesus respond to this man's declaration of his intention to follow wherever Jesus goes? In verse 58, "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" Jesus responds to this man's declaration with a picture of foxes and birds. Foxes, in the place where Jesus had this conversation, they had a hard life. In this arid land, the fox had to be at work constantly in order to get enough food to survive. And then he had to be constantly on the lookout against predators who would destroy him. The fox had to work night and day in order to survive, but at least a fox had a hole to go in at the end of the day. It's the same for birds. In this desert environment where the sun scorches the earth day after day, a bird has to be going all the time in order to get enough food to survive, and especially water. The bird's existence is one of constant toil, but at least the bird has a nest. And Jesus paints this picture for the would-be follower because what he means to say is, as hard as it is for a fox and a bird, it's even harder for the Son of Man, because the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Son of Man is a way that Jesus refers to himself. Now, do you hear what he's saying to this enthusiastic potential follower of his? He's saying, "You want to follow me wherever I go, but you must know right at the start that there will be little comfort when it comes to following me." Do you know how pertinent this word is for us today? Do you realize that we are a culture that is addicted to comfort? Do you know that? Watch the advertisements on TV and you see how many things are being sold to you with the promise of bringing you comfort. And each of us has grown up believing that the supreme good, the very best thing that we could ever have, the thing that will make our lives truly good, is comfort. If we only have the right couch or the right chair, if our TV is just big enough or has three or four dimensions, then everything will be good. Will someone stop that from falling? Okay, there we go. Great. This fellow here is seeking comfort by leaning back and he's ruining the projector. We have been socialized to believe that comfort is the highest goal we could have, and so we deeply desire physical comforts of every kind. We want a comfortable place to live. We want the comfort of fine things around us. We want a comfortable place to rest at the end of the day. We want the comfort of air conditioning. We want the comfort of more leg room, of a finer car, a smoother ride, a bigger yard. We want physical comforts of every kind. But here Jesus is teaching something that every one of us who wants to follow him needs to know, and it's this. That to follow him may mean to leave behind certain physical comforts. The values that we have in possessing things that will give us physical comfort are not the same as the ones Jesus has. And if you want to listen to him, if you want to follow along with him, which you were made to do, you will have to leave behind comfort if you walk with him on his way. Now, not only physical comforts, because there are other kinds of comforts we have been led to believe that are meant to be ours, emotional comforts that we also must leave behind if we will follow him. Let me tell you what I mean. We want the comfort of never having to say a difficult word to our friends, of never having to confront someone who's got the wrong idea with the right idea. We've been led to believe that the comfort of good feelings is more important than the good actions that we're meant to take. We've been socialized to believe that the comfort of never confronting someone, of always making peace, is better than saying the truth and standing up for what is right. We have been led, each one of us, over and over again to believe that the supreme A goal for our lives should be to cause as little problems around us and to have as much emotional comfort as possible. But to follow Jesus means to renounce that kind of comfort as well. Because Jesus says hard things that are true. Because Jesus leads people into places where they have to be around people they're not used to being around, and that's uncomfortable. Because Jesus reaches out to outcasts and touches the people who no one else will go near, and that's supremely uncomfortable. The fact here in this first interaction between Jesus and this would-be follower is very plain, and it is this. If you will learn to listen to Jesus, you must choose every day to put comfort second. Because following Jesus is often very uncomfortable. And before we go to the next, let me just add this one thing, and I want you to hear this. This is very important. Any comfort that you lose because of following Jesus is good for you to lose. Any comfort that you gain when you choose not to follow him, it may be good for a short while, but in the long run, that comfort will be bad for you. The challenge, the uncomfortableness that comes with following Jesus is the challenge and uncomfort of adventure, of discovery, of courage, of standing up for what's right, even when everyone else is saying what's wrong. That is good discomfort. And that's the discomfort that all of us were made for. And if you follow Jesus, that's the place where you will be led, and it will be good for you. And so at the beginning of this series of learning to listen to Jesus, let's all decide now that it's okay. In fact, it's good sometimes to be uncomfortable. Let's take a look now at the second interaction. Verse 59, now we read that Jesus speaks to someone in the crowd. To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." And that's the thing that Jesus is going to be saying each time we gather here to all of you. Follow me. He means for you young folks, for you older people, for everyone here to follow him. He says to someone, "Follow me." And this fellow says, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." This is someone who is in fact interested in following Jesus. This is someone who's been coming along with him for a bit, and now he's decided, yes, I think I will follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, "Follow me." But then this fellow says, "I'll follow you, but first." This is someone who wants to follow Jesus, but just in a little while. This is someone who's ready to become a disciple of his, but only after a few things are straightened out. It's someone who wants to be a disciple, but a little bit later on. He says, "Let me first go and bury my father." It's not immediately clear what he means, but let me give you the background, and it'll make sense. In the culture in which this fellow lives, there is a very definite pattern for the life of every young man. If you're a man and you have children, those children will work on the farm that you own, and they'll work there every day until you die. And this young man here has a father who, like all the other fathers in the area who have sons, is expecting him day after day to work on the farm. And there will be a day when his father dies, and at that time, as the eldest son, this young man will be responsible for presiding over the funeral and making the arrangements and burying his father in a good and respectable way. And then, only after all of that's been taken care of, then he will be free to choose to do something different with his life. Then he will have the freedom to choose to go ahead and follow this man, Jesus. And so when Jesus says to him, "You follow me," this young man says, "I will, but not yet. I'll follow you after I take care of these other things that I think need to come first." Now, I want you to think of yourself for a moment and stop thinking of this man. And I want to tell you again that Jesus asks you to follow. And I wonder if there are things in your life that you've decided need to happen first before you really begin to follow Jesus. If there are some things that you think that I must do this before I begin to listen to him. Do any of you have your finger on something in your own life like this? There are some obvious ones. Those rambunctious college students. You know what I mean? Yes or no? I see you there, Mr. Red Shirt college student. I'll follow Jesus, but I need to live it up and party and have the wild life until I'm done. Is that you? That's the obvious one, right? The person who says, "I'll follow Jesus after I have my fun and I sow my wild oats and I get this out of my system. And then when I graduate college and get a job, then I'll get serious about following Jesus." And I'm sorry I singled you out. I know you're a good man. But there are more subtle ways we do this. Many of us know, for instance, that Jesus means for us to give our possessions away. That he means for us to have the kind of relationship with our money, for instance, where we give some of it away. But then we look at our circumstance now and we say, "Yes, I'll do that. I'll follow Jesus with my finances. But right now, the economy is bad. When it turns around, then I'll start doing that." Or right now, I have student loans and a car payment. And once I've got those settled out, then I'll begin to follow Jesus with the resources that I have. Then I'll start to give some of my money away. I'll follow him with my resources later. This happens with many, many different things in life, with our sexuality. I have these burning desires now. I'll get it out of my system. I know Jesus means for me to be chaste and responsible and to share my love physically with the person that I'm married with. But I'm so burning right now. I'll just get this out of my system now, and then I'll follow Jesus with that part of my life later on. We do it with our money, with our bodies. We do it with our time. Oh, I know Jesus means me to give my time in service to others, to get involved in the community of faith and pursue knowing him with my time, but I'm just so busy now. After football season's done, then I'll have some extra time. Sorry, football fans. Is it football season now? You can see how little I know about this. But there are many ways. I myself do this. Let me put myself on the spot. I know that I need, again, to give my time to this person. I'll follow you, Jesus, but before I can, I have to do this. I'll listen to the words you say, Lord, but first let me do the following. You think now. You think for a moment. Every one of you. You experienced, seasoned disciples, you think of it. And those of you who are just now thinking, maybe I will follow Jesus. Each of you think, what are the things that I am right now deciding to do before I follow Jesus? Because there's a word that Jesus has for this second potential follower too, and for you. What he says is quite stark. Jesus says to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Go and proclaim the kingdom of God means quite simply, right now, not later, this very moment, you go and start doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. Right this very moment, you begin to live the life that proclaims the truth that Jesus is bringing himself in his person. Not tomorrow, not later, not after you get some other things done, but right now, you go and start living like you're supposed to live. This very moment, listen to the voice of the Lord. It might sound like I'm saying something that's difficult and challenging, but let me tell you, to do the things that Jesus calls you to right now are the very best things for you, no matter what you have to stop doing. If you would only listen to him, you would see. If you would only choose not to put off following him, but do it right now, you would see yourself. What I'm saying here is absolutely true, that there's nothing better than for you to follow him this very moment, not tomorrow. Not when you settle things out in this regard or that, but this very instant to follow him. It's the very best thing. It's what you were made for. It's what all of us were made for. It's what this man was made for, and it's why Jesus tells him, now, go, and with your life and your actions, proclaim the truth about the kingdom that I'm bringing in person. Let the dead bury their own dead. You know what that means? Jesus is telling him, you go off and spend time what you're doing and wait until your dad's in the coffin and put him in the ground, and you yourself are no different between now and then than that dead body in the coffin. If you go on and you are free to do this, if you go on not listening to Jesus and choosing to wait, you are as good as dead now. You are like a person walking through life who's dead. There are many of those people, and I myself am that person every time I turn away from Jesus and I don't listen. The lesson from this second saying of Jesus here to this second potential follower is follow him now. Whatever it is that you think should come first, it shouldn't. Trust him and listen today. You do that each time we gather on Sunday to listen to him, and I'm telling you, you will see that it brings life to hear his words, that it feeds your soul. One last exchange, and then we're done. In verse 61, we meet the third potential follower, and here's how it goes. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This last exchange here is at first perhaps the most mysterious, but as it is with Jesus' words, he's always saying something, and you must do some investigation at certain times to find out what he's talking about. There's an old story behind this one that the listeners would have known. Do you know the story of Elijah and Elisha? Are there any here who know that story? Okay, some of you do, that's good. Some of you don't, and that's fine too. Knowing the old stories helps us understand Jesus. Let me tell you the story of Elijah and Elisha. It's in the background here, and it makes sense of this bit that Jesus says about the plow. Elijah was a great prophet of God. He was a man in his own time who had words of life, who spoke the truth, who talked for God. Just like Jesus here, he was a foreshadowing of the person who would speak good words. Elijah went one day to a farm where there was a man named Elisha working. Elisha was plowing a field, an enormous field. He had 12 yoke of oxen. That's a lot. Elijah came to that man, Elisha, and he said, it's time for you to follow me. Just like Jesus says to the person he comes to, follow me. Elijah, now this is tricky because it's Elisha and Elijah, right? So you really got to tune in here, all right? Elisha looks at Elijah and says, you know what? I think maybe I should follow. He sets down the plow and he begins to go with Elijah. He starts to walk along with this prophet. He's beginning this new life of following this master, of going in a different direction on a road that's brand new. There's something in Elijah that's inspired him, and so he starts to go along with him. Listen, very, 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 very carefully. Many of you are on this same path where you're starting to go along with Jesus. You've heard this morning that you have to leave behind comfort. Maybe you're ready to try that out. You've heard this morning that you need to do it now. Maybe you're ready to do that as well. You're like Elisha. Elisha is going along with Elijah. And then And then Elisha thinks of the things that he's left behind. He's still only a little ways down the road, and he thinks of the farm behind him. If you start following Jesus, you'll leave some things behind, and you'll think about them again. Anyone who's struggled with a physical addiction knows what this is like. If you are an alcoholic and you've stopped drinking and you begin to go down the path of sobriety, you know what it's like to think again of those old times, of that old drink. Elisha's thinking about the farm he's left behind, and he stops walking and he says to his new master, Elijah, I'm going to come with you, but let me first go back and say farewell. Same thing this guy says to Jesus. Elijah says to him, why? Why do you need to go back? No, come with me now. He doesn't force him. He says, if you need to go back, you go. Jesus won't force you. And so Elisha goes back to the farm, and Elijah stands there watching as Elisha returns. There's a question about Elisha's motivation. Does he really just want to go back to say goodbye, or does he maybe want to establish some connections just in case it doesn't work out with his new master? Does he want to make sure he props a few of the doors open before he goes away? Does he want to build a few bridges back to this old life of his just in case he needs to go back and taste the good life? Because this fellow, by the way, was very wealthy. Elisha had 12 yoke of oxen. That means he had 24 and he had a huge plot of land for his day. Maybe he wants to go back just to make sure he has an escape route in case it doesn't work out with his new master. Let me tell you that you and I, all of us, will have to be on the lookout. If we want to listen to Jesus, we have to be on the lookout for the ways we'll want to establish ties with our old life. And Jesus says to this man who says, I just want to go say farewell. He says this phrase here, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Think of the story of Elijah and Elisha. Maybe when Elisha goes back to say goodbye, Elijah will see him there back at the farm, and he'll put his hands back on the plow, and he'll just look back over his shoulder. And all this new master and this new path will have been was something that he was interested in for a while, but which now he just looks back over his shoulder as he goes back to his old life. That's a real possibility. And Jesus says, anyone who does that is not fit to follow me. And I hate to say it, but it's true. For many of us here, maybe in the future, this whole thing, Outreach Red Bank Community Church, the Orb High School group, or the middle school group that I was a part of for a little while, will turn out just to have been some little venture down the path a few steps with Jesus, and then we turn back and we put our hands back on the old plow and just look back at what it used to be. That's not what any of us was meant to be. Each of you is meant to leave behind everything that's back there. The moment you turn and begin to follow Jesus, the best thing for you to do is to cut all ties and not build bridges to your old past, but to let it go. Instead, to walk down this new future with Jesus, who is the very best thing for you. Now, you know, let me tell you how the story ended with Elisha and Elijah, because it's a picture of what each of us is meant to do. There Elisha is with his hands in the plow, looking back at Elijah. And do you know, he doesn't start plowing the field. He unbuckles the yoke from the shoulders of the oxen. And then he goes to the next and the next. And he takes the yoke off of all 12 teams of oxen. And he makes a big pile of the wood and he sets it on fire. And then he takes his knife and he slaughters all 24 oxen and he roasts them on the blazing fire there. He invites everyone from the village where he used to live and he feeds them that meat as a symbolic act of his decisive choice to leave his past behind. The man burns all of his bridges. He closes all the doors. He cuts all ties, not in a mean way, but in a joyful way. He says, the past is over and done. I'm going to leave it behind me and let everyone who knew me see that I'm a new person. And he burns the bridges. He cooks all of the meat. He serves it to his friends. And off he goes down the path with Elisha into real life. And that is what every one of us was meant to do as we listen to the voice of Jesus, the voice that will tell us, leave comfort behind and follow me on this new adventure. The voice that tells us, you let go of all of the things in your past and you follow me into the future that I have for you. Don't you worry about what will happen. Don't you be concerned about all the things you'll have to let go. You just cling to me and walk with me into real life. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for the next day until you graduate high school or college. Right now, follow me this moment and you will know real life. If you are ready to do those things, to let go of comfort, to listen to him now, and to let the past be in the past, then you are ready to listen to him. This summer, again and again, we'll hear the words of this master. And my prayer is that as we listen, each of us will be transformed into disciples of his. And in that way, we will taste real life and become his instruments of good in this world that so desperately needs it. Now, as I pray, I'm going to ask the musicians to come up, but I want you now to pray with me that we will be people who can listen. God, I thank you for this scene of Jesus interacting with these three potential followers. I thank you for the way it teaches us what it would mean to come after you. I pray that each of us would grow and become mature so that we would be people who are ready to follow you no matter what, so that we would be people who put comfort in its right place, so that we would be individuals who did not wait but followed you now, and so that each of us would learn to let the past go and move into the future with you. God, I pray as we continue to worship together, as we sing, as we listen, as we take your supper, that we would hear the words that you speak, and in hearing them, we would be people who knew the life that you've called us to. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, whose words are good and true, and whose words are life. In his name we all pray together. Amen.